Doesn't have two O's in it?
Romans 8. We can not do it if you want. Don't want to.
No, I wasn't thinking of Bible study. I was just thinking of the whole day.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein.
Spin the
wheel. What?
Spin the wheel. It's like a giant game of Wheel of Fortune. Spin the wheel. Oh, here it goes.
This few verses that we touched on yesterday, and they're almost poetic in terms of understanding the mystery of God. Let me just read them. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. One thing that we forget in... Let's go to Genesis 3. This is after the woman, Adam and Eve, ate of the tree. And the Lord, in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. By thy belly shall thou be led, is what it really says, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and conception, and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree for which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now, when it says cursed is the ground, he's essentially saying cursed is the universe. It's not just this little punk of ground here. And the enmity is between the seed of the serpent, which is your mind and my mind, and the seed...
Huh? You said the seed of the serpent.
The seed of the serpent. That's what it says. He's speaking to the serpent. He says, "Because, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed."
Who's the woman?
The woman. Who's the seed of woman? There's only one seed of woman in the Bible, Jesus Christ. That's why the virgin birth was predicted here.
What does sorrow mean? I just noticed he uses it three times.
Well, I haven't studied that particular one. If I did, I don't remember, so I'll have to look it up.
That'd be interesting. But the woman here is different than the seed of Christ. There's a woman and then her seed. And
all right, let's look at it again. First, he's talking to the serpent. Verse 15, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. What don't you understand?
Well, he asked who the woman, and you went on to the next sentence. It sounded like.
Yeah.
So the woman is just woman.
Well,
it's just a vehicle by which the seed came into time and space.
But the end, the point of that isn't the woman. The point of it is the enmity.
Yeah.
What don't...
he's talking to the serpent, and he's going to put enmity between the serpent and the woman.
But it's expanded, the sense is expanded, and says then between thy seed and her seed. The reason the woman was put there is to emphasize that the seed of woman, not because the woman is there. Okay? Understand? No. Again, if we can look at this from a comic book and say, well, there's talking, we've got a talking snake, and it really doesn't have anything to do with me because snakes don't talk, even though we think we say we believe it. Or we got all this other little comic book stuff going on, or we can see the grandeur of the mystery here and see that it defines everything. It defines everything that's happening today. It defines everything that has happened in history. The ground is cursed. Anybody understand this? Am I not communicating again?
Well, I understand the metaphors for that, but the metaphors for the other thing, the sorrow and childbirth, or is that actually sorrow and childbirth?
I can't remember the particulars of that, so we'll study it tomorrow. Okay? Because I've spent months on this one part of the scripture here defining what each one of those meant, but I just my mind isn't going there right now. It's only going to this, the ground is cursed because of what took place. All right?
And cursed means subject to the same enmity, separate from God and hope.
Cursed means it can only bring forth corruption, that which denigrates with time. That's why the second law of thermodynamics is universal. Nothing in and of itself can ever bring forth anything greater than itself. Did I lose somebody? I mean, it seems like I've lost everybody all of a sudden. All right. Let's go back to Romans 8. The point of this is all of creation is involved in this. It's not just isolated things. It's all of time and space is involved. Now, what's it involved? What's it doing? We first have to sort of identify what is matter. What is this stuff that we can see? What is it? Now, if you believe what I believe the scriptures say, matter is spirit slowed down. And the only thing that gives, I mean, it's like
I don't other words, of spirit and time.
Yeah. And all of time and space is spirit slowed down. And we can talk about the speed of light here. You know, the speed of light is supposedly the only constant in the universe. And all science depends on this assumption that the speed of light is constant. Well, what happens if that's not true? What happens? How could that? How could the angel, the seventh angel, stand in Revelation 10 and say, the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more? It's a biggie. This isn't little stuff. And this is something I wrote a long time ago. All creation is not inert, utterly unspiritual, or alien to our life and its hope. All creation is the natural ally of God's plan. Christ is all and in all. The randomness of life, what we see as randomness, provides the antagonism for the seed to find out if there's anything in the universe that can take you off the mercy seat. That's all that's going on. It's the perfect plan from God's standpoint. It's the worst plan from man's standpoint. Because man will come up with all kinds of strange fairy tales and all to justify in any and every way his legacy and his betterment. He will lie, cheat, and steal to believe that his purpose in life is to advance. And I believe that's the fundamental, in other terms that we've studied before, that is the theology of glory. And the only other theology, the theology of the Bible, is the theology of the cross. So there's no in-betweens. There are no options here. It just depends on which environment you are living. Are you living? Is your mind attuned to be in the theology of the cross? Or are you still part of the theology of glory and the deception, the great deception of self-realization? To believe the lie. What? You're doing it.
Well, I'm thinking the evil one in me believes in the theology of glory. And probably always will.
Of course. You can't do anything else. Your mind has only one goal, and that's to make you acceptable to the one, to the nearer kinsman, the one who has the right of first redemption, the Liberite law.
Probably the most difficult thing I've ever faced was to stop giving that importance or breath or power or future.
Well, that is the one battle for every human being on the face of the earth. There's no other battle.
Yeah.
But that the deception is this: let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ.
I think something just came clear for me. This thing about corruption and the curse and subjecting the same in hope and all that stuff. I think it's finally coming clear to me that, and the way I'm seeing it is, I mean, first of all, God's God. You don't even know what that means, but you can't get around God, you can't get under God, you can't outsmart God, you can't thwart God. What God puts into motion will prosper, no matter what. So he creates this thing with Adam and Eve in a garden. And the purpose is the revelation of God and the communion of God with his offspring. And, okay, so it quotes, screwed up because of the contents.
that doesn't mess up God's plan. God's objective would have been achieved had Adam passed the test. And now that he's failed the test, that's fine, because God can't be outsmarted. Now, vanity, corruption, sin, and failure are the instruments by which God will achieve his end. He turns everything to good. He turns everything to his purpose. He can't be outsmarted. So this whole thing about corruption and sin and coming to the end of yourself and you're vain is now exactly right. As opposed to, it's not wrong. It's not exactly wrong. It's exactly right.
Listen, but you can't generalize it philosophically. You have to make it.
No, listen. I have to understand.
You have to make it personal.
Right.
You have to see that all your attempts to do the right thing are part of this great deception. All your attempts to get it right, to not get in trouble, are all part of that one deception. And I'm not trying to pick on you, but I'm saying to wax philosophically, it has to come down to confession to see, my God, this is what I've been doing. And I'm not trying to bug you. I'm not trying to put you on a trip. But I'm saying, and I've said it to Gary 100 times, oh, well, I see. Now man is doing this over here. No, I am doing this. Do you know what I'm talking about, or are you going to get mad at me again?
Well, yeah, but I'm going to resist you right now because you do this to me all the time. There's just started to be a glimmer of light in my head, and now you're coming at me with something else I have to see. I'm not ready to do that yet. I need to see this first. I know what you're saying is true, but I don't want to deal with it right now.
All right. Go to Isaiah 55.
I think that's fine because it's not about you. Like I just said, it was probably about 1,000 other people.
Ho, every one that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, or for that which satisfieth not? Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and that your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, or let you and I forsake our ways for their wicked, which is actually what it says in the Hebrew. And let the unrighteous man his thoughts, no, all men's thoughts are unrighteous. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and in our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, as long as you understand that the word that he sent forth was his son, and all these guys that repeat by rote these little scriptures and say the Praise God, his word shall not come forth void, because I've imagined this vain thing in my mind that's going to happen. And then they repeat that as the justification for their sin. Now, what is so critical to each one of us, down to the core of our very being, is that we don't make this a philosophy. It must be seen and personalized, otherwise repentance is never possible. What?
Yes. Amen.
I'm sorry, but when I hear someone philosophize, then it's just air. It's going to float. It has to be seen as that, and this will make you madder than spit. If I cause you and put your eyes on yourself to cause you to see it as a confession, not as a philosophy. But as far as I know, and from everything I've read in the scripture, that is the only way that a body can be. Well, if you get mad at me, so be it. But all this other grand philosophical, blah, 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 blah. It's just words. And you don't have to grab the philosophy, you have to grab hold and confess the sin. And they're not related. The philosophy is an escape mechanism for the sin, so you don't have to acknowledge it. I'm sorry if it... No, I'm not sorry. This is the way it is. This is the way it had to be for me. I know no other way. I couldn't philosophize about it. This is why I spent 12 years doing all the word studies and to try to prove that it wasn't right, because I hated it. That's enough for today. Capish? Any response? How about I'm sorry? I'm sorry, but it's got to come.
Well, I feel bad about yelling at you, but sometimes I you just come over me like a pit bull.
And I always will.
Well, okay, but sometimes I can't handle it. I appreciate it, but sometimes it's just too...
Would you have me be different?
No.
Do you understand how philosophy is an escape mechanism?
Yes, I do. And maybe I was philosophizing. I don't think I was. I was trying to verbalize what was going on inside of me. The exhortation in here is, don't just sit there and think about it. Say it. I'm trying to get out what it is that's going on in me. I'm just in the process of discovering what's going on in me, and I feel like you just come after me.
I did.
Sometimes, and I couldn't handle it that
way. How many times has that happened with you?
The grand irony is the very thing that you were saying was tested immediately. And it proved out. I mean, that was a great...
Well, the point, my position is there isn't enough time for philosophy. I don't... Whether it's my own... oldness or ageism, or whether it's some sense of what the Spirit is doing, I don't really care about anybody's philosophy and what they think about this and how, oh. I care that each of us, down to the core of our being, understand our own unending sin, unending attempts to try to get it, to try to understand. It'll never happen. Can't happen, because you're using that which is cursed to try to gain that which is blessed. And it can be so sincere, but it's just pure dung.
This reminds me of, in the latter days, even the elect would be deceived, because, you know, these are the real fine points, because they're real grandiose, and they say, oh man, this is it, I got it now.
Well, to me, it doesn't. It's to me, it's just dumb.
Well, it is, but the one who's having the experience, it's grandiose.
Hey, Ronnie. I mean, Johnny, not Ronnie. I mistook you for Ronnie.
I know, we look so much alike.
I know.
I was just coming to say thanks for anybody who donated money to the towing of the car. But my dad's not even here to tell me if I'm in the right place.
He must have asked him when I wasn't there.
He did?
Because I didn't give any money. I only got $2.
I don't want your money. Your money's dumb.
He had a car tow. He's saying thank you.
Yeah, I did one of my lists. Now, everywhere we went the next day, it was like, this is good.
Yeah, looking for
Tozo. Not in this case, it was towed. He had to get it out of the tow.
Can you talk about the great deception?
Not right now. It's all covered.
I what I thought of was before Galileo showed up, we thought we were in the center and everything went around us. And how when he revealed that was an error, how they eventually they killed him. And how we see ourselves at the center and all this stuff is going on around us, rather than being in the midst of it, we get to step back and observe it.
Yeah, and that's evil.
And that's the deception.
Yes. And they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service.
Yeah, if you come against that deception.
How well I know. I only wish they would have really killed me instead of just separating.
Make a phone call,
yeah. Are you okay?
I'm troubled. I mean, I guess I'm okay, but I'm unsettled and troubled. There's not...
Well, let's talk about
there's
it.
There's not resolution. There's not... It's not anger or upset or any of that, but it's like... I don't get it. I don't got it.
Okay.
I can't go, aha.
Okay. You have been here since 1983. October of 83, since we've been together. There have been thousands and thousands and thousands of times when you have come either in here or to me personally or in big group or something and said something that you saw. You understand what I'm saying? But something else happens a few minutes later, and it's though you saw nothing. Okay. The reason for that is that you have made it as a philosophy or an overview or of something you're looking at, as opposed to seeing the depth of why you're separating yourself from it. And you're separating yourself from it in order to retain your life. And you've helped, I'm not saying you've done anything wrong, because you've helped many people in things you've said. But I'm talking just between you and me now. What you've done in saying that, and in the, well, this is, I see, now it's this going around over here, and this is coming this way and that way. And all of it was good and right. But it's time now. And this is the first time I've done this in all these years. It's time now that you stop and see not that it's a philosophy, but at the core of your being, you're doing the things that you're philosophizing about, even in the act of saying it.
Well, I don't think that I don't know what you just said and don't agree with what you just said. I think that, you say it's raining outside. You can say that to somebody who doesn't understand English and they have no idea what you're talking about. You have to know what the word "its" means, and the word "raining," and the word "outside."
No, you don't.
It means nothing.
No, you don't. All you have to go outside. Remember, I've said from the beginning.
Wait. I come in here, and you talk. Right? There needs to be communication. I need to understand what you're saying.
No.
No.
No. Because the words that you're using to understand are called the traditions of men. All you need to know is some point deep inside your being is that you're Cain who killed Abel. You're Nimrod who is searching and grabbing for power at the expense of the people. You're Abimelech. You're Herod. We are the evil one.
Well, then I should go sit in a hole in the ground someplace and pull dirt in over my head.
No, you're doing exactly the right thing at the right time. Again, you have to understand, what's that, 25 years, I haven't said what I just said to you this morning about the philosophizing. All I'm saying now, and if you trust me at all, now is the time that it served its purpose. You've helped a lot of people. But now, as us, as a body, and us spiritually, and us with a great cloud of witnesses, it's time for that to take the next step. That it's not, you no longer need words to understand it's raining, you just need to go outside and rain. Again, you've heard me repeat the cliche a million times. You can't go swimming unless you get in the pool. You have to dive in. And the way in which you have done this all these years was necessary. Is that you have stayed one step back as an observer. Now dive in.
Okay. That's the difference then. You're telling me that, and I trust you, and I've known over the years that I can trust you, so I'm going to listen to that. But I got to tell you, that's not what I think I'm in the pool.
Well,
I think I'm swimming. I think I've given up everything to jump in the pool.
But that's we're not talking about giving up.
I don't care about that. I think I'm in the pool.
No.
And you're saying, no, you're on the edge of the pool. God needs to reveal that to
you. Okay, is that, I need somebody else's help. Does anybody know what I am talking about?
Like you're talking.
Okay, go ahead.
At its core, it's self-realization. At its core, waxing philosophical is creating a place for you to run and hide. And it's an abdication of your personal responsibility to God by saying, this is what makes sense, and so this is where everybody else is, so I'm going to go there too. Ultimately, it's an abdication of faith. It isn't a question of you trusting Oli, what Oli's telling you, right? You damn well better trust God.
Amen. Now, again, Harry, it seems like you're being picked on. What I'm saying to you is this.
Right now, I'm taking exception to this thing, waxing philosophical. That sounds like some kind of a dildo sitting in a room someplace in Europe fantasizing about the meaning of existence.
I hear that. I'm trying to verbalize for you to go.
I'm trying to verbalize what the hell is going on inside
you. It's not just you. I do the same thing. I do it all the time. It's a place where I can go and I can hide. It's a justification.
The saying of it is the effort not to hide.
Harry, again, you and Gary are spiritual bell cows, and you didn't ask for it. It's just what is. But you're spiritual bell cows at the opposite ends of the herd. You can't hold anything in because your countenance changes and everything goes crazy and you get mad and everything flips out and blah, blah, blah. Gary can cope with anything. He can stay quiet. He can even speak and cope at the same time, which is a real interesting thing. Huh?
Excuse me, are you saying that in my struggle to understand, and then this morning, the attempt to express that is in reality part of the theology of glory?
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right.
Okay, I hear that. I hate that, but I hear it.
And it's true for both of
you. It's really like, look how skillfully I was able to turn this conversation to be about me.
Right.
I heard this as ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
And it doesn't take any understanding. It doesn't take any words. It only takes total and complete transparency to know that you're the chief of sinners and can't be redeemed. Then, hallelujah, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. There is nothing for me to do. It's finished. And that's what all of the whole creation is groaning, waiting for this moment in you.
So me saying that, I'm not being smart about this, I'm serious, this isn't sarcastic. Me saying that is an attempt to redeem myself.
Right.
You sitting there teaching.
It kills me.
Is... Right. It's not an attempt to justify yourself or bring glory to yourself or look how smart I am or how much I understand the scriptures.
Oh, God, no.
But if I were sitting there, that's what it would be.
Today?
I would be. I mean, I'm saying, if I were sitting there this morning teaching, it would be, look at how well I'm lecturing.
But the difference has nothing to do with intellect or time. It has to do with, you remember when we studied and God remembered Noah? The word remember is zakar in Hebrew, and it means to take the appropriate action at exactly the appropriate time. Now you've got to hear, nothing in your entire life up till this point has been a mistake. God has wrought every single breath and every single word and every single thing that's happened in you. God has wrought all your works in you. But now, God is remembering Harry. So at the appropriate, he's taking at the appropriate time, at the appropriate action. And it's very complex because it involves all the other people and people we don't even know. And so we can never judge by what it looks like. But the reason it's not this certainty in me is because I've watched you do this since 1983.
I understand. I really do. I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw it in someone. It happened the other night where somebody who I'm not usually around was just being themselves. And I thought I was going to throw up because they had found a way, without thinking about it, they had somehow been able to put out a series of words that were really, look at me, how qualified I am, how smart I am, please praise me and pay attention to accept me. And I almost threw up. And as you're talking, I know, I understand, I got it. That a couple weeks ago or a month ago or something, Kol Nidre or something like that, I said that my desire, my prayer, the thing that my prayer is that I would decrease, that he might increase. And this is, that's what this is. I'm just going to disappear.
This is why, in these kinds of instances, and we've seen it many times over the years, if you have one ally,
right,
you can't, it can't be exhorted. Understand that?
Yep.
But that's what every you want more than that's what we want. When we got to find an ally, and we.
Saying when Samuel confronted David, oh gosh,
And David immediately jumps in and goes, "Well, you know, we got to. There's got to be justice."
Yeah.
And Samuel goes, "Well, you're the man."
Yeah.
My favorite is Agag.
Oh, yeah. You again, David.
Do the Agag, Johnny.
And I hate to be the butt of like it, but you're definitely the rollover.
What?
Rollover.
Oh, take a big guy.